In this episode of What the Prophets Say, I'm joined by Louise Reed and Ali McFarlane as we talk about knowing God and how to have a different kind of revelation with him. This is a good one, friends. Well, hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to What the Prophets Say. My name is Matt Johnson, and today I am joined by the wonderful, the glorious Louise Reed. How are you, Louise?
Wonderful and glorious. Wonderful apparently, and glorious. Yes. Shall I add to that?
You can keep adding to that.
Ooh,
yeah.
Glamorous. magnificent.
Right.
I don't know, suddenly I was going to say...
Mischievous.
I was going to say efficient. I don't know where that came from.
Absolutely not.
Of all the things we could use to describe you.
Efficient wouldn't be one of them.
And as you can hear, friends, we also are joined by the fabulous Ali McFarlane.
Yay!
How are you both?
This is so fun.
Yeah, Ali's living her best life.
I am. I mean, this is where this really is my best life. Yeah. Because technically, I'm on a salary and this is part of my work time. So I'm being paid to chat with my pals.
I know. How did you manage to land that one?
It just apparently just need to be like, know Jesus,
yeah,
and then be good at having a chat.
It's a good start,
isn't it? Be good at the chats.
Be good at the chats.
Excellent.
So yeah,
but your voice is returning. Is it?
How many days have we got left? So we're currently on the 20th. Is it the 20th today?
No, 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 19th.
No, maybe
19th, not. 19th. No, it is the
19th. So I'm like, I don't know, 11 days?
Okay.
Oh, can you sing by the end of January? I thought it was by the end of February.
1st of February.
So okay. Matt, you're out of a job on the 1st of February.
I'm so excited.
Okay.
Like, I cannot wait to sing.
I don't. It's a funny thing, isn't it? For you, it's an expression of everything that's on your insides.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. And so linked to like my inner well-being.
Yeah.
And so I've had like 2 months of saying to Jesus, well, what am I going to do now? I can't get on my piano and sing and cry, which is basically how I spend my
That's
life.
How you write songs.
Tell us your songwriting. Well, sing and I cry.
Well, you know, just like as someone who has really massive emotions and feels all the things, my easiest way to deal with all of my insides is to sit at the piano with Jesus. He always sits next to me. And then I just play something and I'm talking to him in the spirit and then I'm singing a thing and it gives like words and feeling to what is going on. And sometimes I don't know what it is that's going on until I sing.
Exactly.
And so then I sing and then everything's processed and everyone's like, oh, you're so emotionally well. Yeah, because I sing at my piano. Mm-hmm. So 2 months of no singing has caused me great
wellness.
So what
have you done instead? Yes.
Well,
sorry, Matt, you're so I'm taking over here.
It's fine. I wanted to know. I'm like, oh, yes, I want to know how she's processed.
Well, I will put a reel up on Instagram, but I've had to take up dancing in my living room because I just needed
you need to let it out.
Level of expression of something I didn't have words for.
Yeah,
that makes sense to me. My husband keeps texting me saying, I've got a problem with my wife. Please, can you help?
Me listening to Johnny Riggs at like 12 o'clock at night in the living room when no one's around, just dancing my heart out. So I've been dancing. I will say, like, I understood when this started that it was like going to be an opportunity for me to figure out other ways to connect to Jesus, because I'm heavily reliant on that little private space that I have with him. So I've been way more in the study of the word, which is interesting because I usually study it in a way or pull it apart while I'm songwriting.
Yes.
But it's forced me into more of like I miss it because I'm not in that space so much. So I'm going to have to just do something that's outside of music, which has actually brought my revelation into a kind of different space.
Yeah, you've been sounding different.
You have been sounding different, actually. It's really interesting.
That's very good for your brain because you're coming at things from a different angle.
Yeah. Yes.
See, I don't sing. I shout.
Really?
I like to get into my car and drive down to the seafront and shout.
I think I might enjoy that.
Yeah. Mm. It's not like angry shouting or whatever. It's like what it says about Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, you know, when he let out a loud cry. It was like the whole of his being. Mm-hmm. It's very, very therapeutic. And I just let it all out to the Lord.
I'm sorry. Now I'm just imagining you, Louise, being outside one of the beach caves and Jesus, come out.
I usually stay in the car. Well, of course, it's because of the time of year. I'm not outside the car shouting or whatever. So I would upset the locals.
Yeah.
I'm in the car.
I knew that yours had to have something to do with volume. The first time, friends, that I was invited to stay at Louise, me and Sarah, and she was like, oh yeah, just stay at our house, it'll be completely fine. We noticed that on her kitchen table she had a gavel. And Sarah's like, oh, this is interesting. And she picks up this gavel and it has so many indentations in it. And Sarah's comment to me was, she absolutely uses that, and I'm really sorry for the demons that she's hitting under.
I got that for my birthday. My kids bought it for me 1 year for my birthday. And I have to say, it really helped me in terms of the execution of spiritual authority. Mm-hmm. I wasn't playing a game, but I was helping myself, you know, and even the declaration of truth. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like being able to get out your... What do you call it? Which bit is the gavel? Is it the top bit or the bottom bit? Or is it both? I don't know. But anyway, I get it out, and I would be praying or decreeing something or declaring. Yeah. And then I'd just give it a good old hit.
I bet Nigel loved that in the middle of the night. Oh, there she is again.
There she goes again. Downstairs with her gavel. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And he used to think that actually underneath it all I wanted to be Judge Judy or somebody like that. I don't know whether our listeners know Judge Judy. Do you know Judge Judy?
I mean, I do know who Judge Judy is.
She is. An American lady. Yeah. She's about 150.
I think when I was like 10, we used to be able to watch it on Sky.
Oh, okay.
On Sky? The Sky box first came out and you could get like living TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could watch Judge Judy Morey. Do you remember him?
No.
Morey.
And then Jerry Springer, which I wasn't allowed to watch.
Yeah. No.
And Dr. Phil.
But I was allowed to watch Judge Judy. Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil, you still love watching Dr. Phil. It's always interesting.
I was going to say, I've got a new one that I really like, but I don't think I'll see it out.
Oh, okay. We all want
just another talk show by one of my favorite humans.
I have to say that there is a show at the moment that I am watching,
uh-huh.
and unashamed and slightly passionate about,
uh-huh.
I have to say, Traitors.
So
have you ever watched Traitors?
I watched season one and I loved it.
Yeah.
But I don't have normal telly.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched it. And I really want to watch the celebrity one with Alan Carr. Apparently it was amazing.
It was very, very good.
So the new season is good?
Yes. It is very good. We don't have a TV. So I have to go to my daughter's apartment to watch it.
She stands outside the window and watches from there.
Sorry, Stephanie.
Anyway, is it going to do something spiritual?
Something spiritual.
That's why we're here.
It's all the nonsense.
Our listeners are so patient with us.
They are so patient.
Well, they're patient with you, Matt. They don't have to be patient with me.
Thanks, Louise. Thanks. Mm-hmm. As you know, friends, we are talking about life messages at the moment. So mm-hmm. in the hot seat this week is Louise Reed. So Louise, kick us off with what you feel like one of your main life messages from the Lord is.
One of your many. Is that like many lives or I've many messages?
Many messages. We know that from being with you. Many messages.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, how about I choose one?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I have talked with Emma on previous podcasts about things that I'm feel I carry or I'm passionate about. But I think, let me say it this way. Quite a number of years ago, a prophet prophesied over me and said about that people would sit beside me, whether that be on the bus or mm-hmm. in church or whatever. And just being in my presence, they would have a revelation of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it really impacted me because it wasn't about, you know, you're going to be a great expositor of the word or you're going to do this, that and the other. I thought, wouldn't that be amazing to just carry his presence in such a profound way that when you're with people, they feel that or are affected by that. And I can remember particularly in one job that I had. I used to work part-time for a doctor. And I can remember the other staff there, you know, they'd say to me, there's just something about you. When you're in the office, everything seems to be calmer. Mm. Or yes. when there is a crisis happening, when it happens on your watch, it always seems that we get a great result or whatever. Mm. What is it about you? Mm. And it is so wonderful to have kind of like a secret within that you long for others to know, mm-hmm. but they are actually coming and asking you yeah. rather than you presenting something to them. Now, of course, it's a both and. Mm-hmm. But one of my real life messages, I guess, is the carrying of the presence of
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
So that he fills me in every way. Now, my family might say, Mom, you've still a bit of work to do. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But that is definitely a life yeah. message of yeah. the revelation of Jesus. So what I want when anybody asks me a question, I would want, my desire would be that Jesus comes out of my mm-hmm. mouth, that my reaction in any situation would be that Jesus is seen, is mm-hmm. understood, is revealed. Yeah. And I think that's what we're here yeah, to be as Christians.
It's wonderful.
And yeah. believers in the world.
Yeah. I love that. And Louise, I know that when we are close to you, that there's that instant draw of, oh, I feel well.
Held.
Well and held.
Yeah.
And there is that portion of the Lord that you carry, this very mothering, fathering anointing where you get to hold people. But you always leave, and Ali, you can speak to this too, you yeah. always leave feeling lighter yeah. and more whole, like, oh, I needed that conversation. I needed that chat and those few words. And it would have been 90% would be nonsense. But then you will hit us with such amazing truth that it breaks something open so you can go again. Also that you can yeah. start to work with the Lord and let me just center myself and get proximity to him.
Yeah, I would agree. I think when I describe you, I often say that you're shiny. And I don't know if you've ever heard me say that before, but shiny is something that I use when it's honestly me and my random terminologies for things. I know it's a little bit spectrum. But I would say that you're shiny because it's the way that I describe people that I believe have spent time with Jesus. Yeah. I'm like, there's people in the world that you know him, and you just don't have any shadow of a doubt that you know him. And so to me, you're shiny. And so the same as Matt, like, I actually sometimes feel terrible because whenever you're around, I tend to hog you. Like, wherever you are,
hog.
Both. Yeah. But I'll tend to come, I'll sit with you. I don't yeah. even care if you're having yeah. a conversation with someone else.
Or if I'm busy.
Or if you're busy. I just
being
know
efficient.
If you're having a moment of efficiency, I'm there to disrupt it.
A moment.
But I just know that if I come into your proximity, then I'm going to have a greater revelation of Jesus. Mm. And obviously I know a bit about like who you are outside of like yeah. the prophet, which is you spend a lot of time doing Emmanuel with people, mm. which is one of the tools that we they don't like us calling it a tool, but it's one of the inner healing mechanisms that happen. And you
it's
basically
an approach,
thank you. And you lead people to encounter Jesus. Mm-hmm. And
I think that is probably my favorite mm-hmm. thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing more rewarding than mm-hmm. sitting with somebody and helping them into a living experience mm-hmm. of being with Jesus. And I love the fact, in fact, I have to be honest, sometimes I feel like a total cheat because I think of the amazing counselors who've studied for years
yeah.
and they really help people to manage their lives and manage their pain and understand their pain and hopefully heal from their pain. They do an incredible job. Mm-hmm. But I get to do a different part of the mm-hmm. job, and that is to sit with people, help them into an encounter with Jesus where he does the work mm. and all I do is kind of midwife mm. the birth of something new in somebody. Mm-hmm. And what I love even more is they will never walk out the door and go, oh gosh, I must get another session with Louise. Mm-hmm. They'll always walk out the door going, Jesus is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I get such a kick and such a hit out of that. It is absolutely marvelous to be with somebody when they're at their worst point, mm-hmm. and then seeing the miracle of what experiencing him does in mm-hmm. their lives.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
So as you said, in a healing minister, that's something that you do all the time.
Yeah.
What would your advice be to some people that are listening to this that want to connect with Jesus? How would you help get them there?
Oh, well, I'll give you very simply, knowing, understanding that he is with us is key. So that, bringing that awareness to mind, he is with me. Some people have this strange notion that really he's only with people who are believers. He is everywhere and he is with everyone. He's omnipresent. So even for somebody who's an unbeliever, they can experience the presence of Jesus by turning to him. Mm-hmm. They may not know it's him, but you can make them aware. I mean, I've got some interesting stories with that, with working with people. But the first thing is recognizing that he's with them. And then the second thing I would say, this is particularly for believers, is remembering times when we were close to him or experienced him in a special way, and chewing the cud on those memories starts to bring back. It's that's like as if I said to you, Matt, you know, what was the best meal you ever had? And you said to me, oh, it was that Wagyu steak. Mm-hmm. Sorry, vegetarians. but it was that Wagyu steak I had. I tell you, if you tell me about, if I get you to describe that Wagyu steak, you will be salivating here in the chair. And I guarantee on the way home, you'd be popping into Marks and Spencer's to pick up a Wagyu steak. Mm-hmm. It's the way that we're built. It's the same with remembering a time of special connection with Jesus, whether that's walking on a beach, up a hill, in a worship service, whatever it might have been, where you were aware of his presence, and remembering that. Mm-hmm. And then being able to say, who was he for me in that experience? Oh, he was with me on that walk on the beach and we were just talking together and he was so close. And I remember that. And then this is really important for connecting with him, is being able to turn to him as best you can, but with faith in your heart that he's with you, and saying, Jesus, do you remember that time when we were together on the beach? This is who you were for me. You were amazing because you are glorious. You are kind. You are good. Mm-hmm. You are faithful. Yeah. You are a communicator. And you start to appreciate and tell him what you love about him. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, before you know it, similar to the Wagyu steak, although please, I'm not in any way comparing Jesus to a Wagyu steak, but it's the way our systems are built.
Yeah.
Right there and then, I'm ready. I'm tuned in for another encounter with him. Mm-hmm. And then I'm always looking for him.
Yeah, and it's almost like our systems are built. There's a way that we are built to just know God.
Yes.
And to be able to run after him. Mm-hmm. And when we don't have that, it's like we have an empty portion. It's like, oh my goodness, I need something, but I don't know what it is.
But we are all built with, as we know, that God-shaped vacuum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, he is with us. It doesn't need to continue. Mm-hmm. But becoming aware of his presence is a massive deal. You know, where he is with you in a room, what he's doing, his posture, what he's wearing, and getting used to that way of interacting with him every day.
Mm-hmm.
And being in that consistent, abiding communion with him, where it's in every situation, Jesus, what are you doing? I mean, this is pure scripture, you know?
Yep.
Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing.
Yeah.
But we shoot that scripture out. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure we really ever take it apart to go, okay, well, how are you doing that?
Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm.
Not just as a theory, but mm-hmm. how are you actually doing it? So looking for him in every situation. Can I say, for anybody who's listening, this is brilliant for your children. Mm-hmm. Teach your children mm-hmm. from a young age mm-hmm. to know him with them so they can always look for him. And Jesus, I mean, well, as we say, he hides in plain sight. Mm-hmm. He's always there. And then when you become aware of his presence, like, oh, there you are. I knew you were there. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes he's behind me. Sometimes he's in front of me. Sometimes he's right beside me. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Who would know in any situation? But if you teach your children this, that means that they go into any situation, whether they're starting nursery, Montessori, mm-hmm. school, mm-hmm. going to a party for the first time as a young child or yeah. whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Them knowing Jesus with them before anything happens mm-hmm. so that he is their main point of contact, which is this anchoring into who he is.
Yeah.
It's all about mm-hmm. secure attachment. And I think that's probably why I have such a passion about carrying his presence and his presence. I just don't like being alone.
Yeah.
We were never built to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone.
It's good.
So the word says, I don't like being alone mm-hmm. and I don't ever have to be alone. Mm-hmm. He is always with me.
Yeah.
So that, can I tell you, that takes like, I'm going to say it takes 85% mm-hmm. of problems out of the way straight away.
It really does.
Because when you know that you've got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, mm-hmm. the Lion of the tribe of Judah, mm-hmm. the Champion of Heaven,
mm-hmm.
you've got the Lover of your soul, you've got mm-hmm. the greatest Father ever mm-hmm. right with you. What's there not to love about life?
Totally.
So good.
Nothing can ever overwhelm just, because I'm already overwhelmed by his presence.
It puts everything in perspective, doesn't it?
Oh, mm-hmm. completely.
And so, as well, like, I think, like, sometimes when I experience you in my favourite moments, it's like when I'm overwhelmed with the thing and I come to you and you just kind of go, it's not that serious. You know, Jesus is Jesus. It's like you have this mm-hmm. crazy revelation of exactly who he is in every moment. Like, what would you say is like your most surprising revelation about who he is? I suppose, have you gone on a journey with like discovering parts of him?
I have my favorite revelation. Mm. When I first met the kindness of God, mm-hmm. it undoes me every time. Because he's kinder than we can ever imagine.
Yeah,
and when we think, when we know we've messed up
mm-hmm.
and we know we deserve mm-hmm. harshness, maybe, mm-hmm. and if our life history has been one of fear of harshness
mm-hmm.
or fear of a negative reaction, you know, for whatever reason, and I think we all have that to mm-hmm. some level.
Yeah.
If we don't, we're just liars.
Mm-hmm.
The times I first originally touched into the kindness of God, it completely undid me because he does not treat us as we deserve.
Yeah.
Now, this particularly is when we're truly repentant.
Mm-hmm.
He is kind beyond measure
mm-hmm.
and restorative beyond measure. And so I absolutely love that about him. That's kind of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued by the laughter and the humor mm-hmm. of God. We're made in his mm-hmm. image. We love to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We, as we say in Ireland, we love to have the crack. Now, can mm-hmm. I just say for our listeners, that has got nothing to do with a drug that some people take. It's C-R-A-I-C, which is just mm-hmm. about having the laugh. And I sometimes sit with Jesus and it's like, show me your sense of humor
mm-hmm.
because it's pure.
Yeah.
It's clean.
Yeah.
He, I believe, is the most hilarious person who ever walked the earth.
He is.
He's got to have been.
Yeah,
of course.
Because all of his attributes are extreme. And we don't read a lot in the Word about the jokes that he told. But I tell you, I think that those disciples, I mean, such harsh learnings and mm-hmm. lessons that they had.
Yeah.
But my goodness, they must have had such a laugh at times. And some of those miracles, I mean, I can imagine them sitting back and just at the end of the day, laughing their heads off at things that happened. Mm-hmm. And if their heads were laughed off, he could put them back on again because he just would work another miracle.
Totally.
But so I'm fairly intrigued because I think that I'll just give you another little bonus section here. The church is far too serious.
It is far too
serious. I think that the gospel is good news.
Yeah.
The gospel of the kingdom is good news. Mm-hmm. I am carrying good news.
Yeah.
I'm carrying the best news that there can ever be. Mm-hmm. So why are we so miserable? Why am I sometimes a bit miserable about it? Why is it that we don't want to have a toxic positivity? It's not about that. Yeah. But I want to be carrying the one who is the solution.
Yeah.
He is kind. He is loving. He is good. He is righteous. He makes right judgments. Mm-hmm. Now, we know, of course, as the psalm says, you know, he's angry all the time because he's angry at injustice.
Yeah.
So he carries all of this, but he also carries joy is the atmosphere of heaven. Mm-hmm. I want my atmosphere to be joyful. Yeah. And I'm sorry if that offends people. I mean, sometimes it annoys my kids. I know that. My grandkids love it, but my kids sometimes get a bit irritated with me. But I'm like, I'm willing to risk that to pull people into that joy atmosphere. Mm-hmm.
I love that you ask such simple but beautiful questions. Show me your sense of humor, God.
Yeah.
And I'm sat here thinking, when was the last time that I asked the Lord to show me a sense of humor? I'm so used to, Jesus, show me this or show me this or help me deal with this demon. But how often do I ask, show me your sense of humor, God?
Now, the other thing about knowing God's sense of humor is laughter is such a great undoer in the sense of, if you want to have a serious conversation with somebody or there's something important to be said, if you can get somebody laughing, their relational circuits immediately go on. Mm-hmm. You can then have, if I had something, you know, difficult maybe to say to you, Matt, I wanted to pick you up on something that was troubling me, you know,
every week.
Later on, later on today, guys.
I'm just giving you a warning.
Here we go.
If we can laugh righteously together, suddenly there's a connection and you can work from there because we're far more receptive to one another when those relational circuits are up and running. Yeah,
absolutely. And I know from that place of, you're actually for me here. You're not trying to put me down. You're for me. You're trying to pull me up, build me up rather than, oh, let me put you down right now. And it's a wonderful thing.
Sorry, I'm laughing because when you said build me up, I could think of build me up, whatever that song is.
Buttercup baby.
That's it.
Yes,
sir.
You
can't sing,
Ali.
Sorry, I can't join in.
Voice, Matt, you've only got, 11 days left.
11 days left and then establish yourself.
Well, look, people have already asked for me to be on your worship school. So me and Louise could do a duet.
Who asked? I want names and addresses.
I won't say his name, but on Paro, I'll show you the comment.
No, wait till I tell you a funny
thing.
He
saved that.
If Emma Stark ever listens to this podcast, we should send it to her. Do you have to listen to this?
Hi, Emma.
I have noticed anytime if I break out in song when I have a microphone in a meeting, that's the fastest way to get her to up on her feet and to interrupt. I tested it a few times actually, and it amuses me. I will now do it just to be naughty.
Every time she sits down, you should start singing to get her back up.
Like, no, if I'm praying or something, because you know the way sometimes words aren't enough, and then you just want to break into song.
I don't know. I do,
which I think is slightly an old lady thing to do, but you know. I'm fine with that. I don't care what anybody thinks. And sometimes I just get a little bit carried away and you start to burst into a song.
This is why
she's up on her feet faster.
No,
than...
I'm sorry, but you all do it, right? In fact, I'll say we. Let's say we.
Okay.
Because we have a thing that I like to call song association disorder, right? Which is basically like, if someone says something that triggers a song in your brain, if you see something, like if you see a stop sign, you might sing, stop right now.
Thank you very much.
You know, let's not go any further. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, here's a good idea. And I don't know how many times we've seen Emma do it, because usually what happens is she starts a song and then looks at me and I'm right in there joining her, and then she hands me a microphone and suddenly we're singing like Time After Time or something from the platform.
I know.
And who knows?
And you realise this is not Holy Writ.
It's not Holy Writ.
It's not even Hillsong.
It's not carrying anything.
It's Disney we're singing.
One
Come
time.
On. But
do you remember? Surely. The Circle of Life.
Oh, the Circle of Life.
But the great thing is with you, Ali, when you start, you know when to stop. Louise, a little bit like a drunk granny, just keeps going.
No, you know that, like, all the good things that people say about you, I've come up with. So, you know, like, we call you a few things. Do people know what we call you?
Well, don't say it unless it's going to be upbuilding or whatever, building up or uplifting. Uplifting.
That's not the Scottish way, nor is it the Celtic way.
No, it's true.
So we call
there
you...
was that story of me getting bored in worship. I've got bored in worship a few times. I took out the drum. Do you remember when I just decided,
like, just
a decent drummer?
We're not talking about what you call me.
You took it to the middle of the room.
No, not the first time.
Oh, was this the second
time? Was that when you were at the back of the room?
Oh, no, that was about the third time. then
it's been a few times, guys.
Why have I let her on the drum this many times?
People would be like,
she finds drums.
Just take it to the back of the room, Louise.
Do you remember, I did it as well once, where I had to play drums on a Sunday morning, and I started, and then it was so unanointed, right? The worship was like dire for some reason, I don't even know why. And then Emma was about to interrupt, and I stood up and I started drumming.
She went,
"That's sorry, that was me pointing for all the listeners." She's like, "That's anointed." Yeah. And then I started, and then she started pointing and laughing at me.
Yeah.
And then I started laughing. And so then my limbs stopped working at the right time. And the anointing went from anointed to very unanointed. Yeah. Anyway, in all about 3 seconds. So
I think that's one problem that we slightly do have. I don't know how this connects with life message. I think it's a bit life message of freedom. Mm-hmm. But I think God must be very bored when he hears us singing the same songs, not really engaging with him. But we sing it meaningfully and lovingly.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, well, of course, I did have an experience one time where I was leading worship and I was quite proud of this song that we had practiced. And we were going to do a fantastic bells and whistles. We had the full shebang and dancers. This was going to be great. And as soon as we started it, as I opened my mouth, I heard the Spirit of God say so strongly, "I've heard this one before." And I was like, "Well, you're going to hear it again," because I'm not going to pivot right now into something different. But so sometimes even I get, I don't know about you, Ali, but if it's too samey or we're not motoring, we're not moving with the Spirit of God, I just get a little bit whatever. So yes, it's been a few times I've kind of broken out whether it's with a drum. And I think this is one of the things you say, that I dance in worship like a drunk granny.
I said, I didn't call you a granny. Someone else added that, but I said a drunk auntie.
Oh, drunk auntie.
And
well, take
really
that.
Honestly, the chat was that we were in a worship set. We just sang something standing on chairs. I think Amazing
in
Grace.
In a big circle. In New Jersey.
New Jersey? Yeah, I think it was New Jersey, and me and Emma were on the platform looking out, so everyone else was stood in the circle looking towards the platform.
Incredibly well behaved.
And then what happened was we went into the last verse and Louise got off of the chair and put herself right in the center of the circle and started dancing. And what I'll say about Louise is, like, she's got her knees on backwards.
She does have that's where it comes from. We were chatting last week on the phone and I'm like, "Who said that you had your knees on backwards?" Now it's you. I knew it wasn't me.
Because that's a whole other conversation. Anyway, so she starts dancing. Well, me and Emma are the only people that can actually see her doing this. And I turn to Emma and I say, "She's like my drunk auntie at a wedding." And that was it. We were done. So we were just laughing.
I'll tell you, Jesus was enjoying
it. He enjoyed it.
Because honestly, we are so well behaved and static.
Yeah.
Now, look, there's times and places. Don't hear me. Don't hear what I'm not saying, as Karen Stewart would say. But in that environment, it was about freedom and worshipping. So right. I just was like, I'm getting out here in the middle and I am going to express myself. And what I am expressing is we are a free people and we need to celebrate. Definitely.
And I love that about you, Louise, that is just somebody that you are. You carry freedom and you carry wellness. And it's just... Honestly, for you guys that are watching and just hearing... Louise, we'll be saying something nice to Louise and she will pull the worst face to make us laugh on purpose.
Yeah.
So,
guys, you need some laughter in your life.
A good dose of nonsense.
Yeah.
A good dose of nonsense.
Absolutely. And to seriously, do we not take ourselves too seriously?
Yeah, we do take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, God's going to do what he does in your life. Get filled with his spirit and you're going to be so much happier. Lose a little bit of the tightness of the way that we see life and even see God and enjoy him. The chief end of man is to what? Finish my quote.
I've got no idea where you're going.
Westminster Catechism. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Oh, I love that.
Wow. And with that friends. That profound thought, we are coming to
not an original.
Coming to an end. So... As Louise said, get loose with Jesus, start to laugh a little more, and thank you so much for listening to What the Prophets Say.
Hello friends, I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.